Turn with me this evening, if you would, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 9. Joshua, chapter number 9. It is good to be saved. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to rest your mind at ease. Nothing has taken God by surprise. Amen. Nothing that is going on in this world, nothing that's going on in your life, nothing that's going on in my life has taken the Lord by surprise. And I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God that knows and cares about my life and about your life. Amen. And I appreciate what the Lord did through revival meetings, speaking to my heart, helping me. And I know that He helped others because they testified and said that He did. Told me that the Lord helped them. And I thank the Lord for that. Revival doesn't come in a man. Revival comes in a heart. And so we try to seek the Lord continually. Even after the man leaves, after the preacher leaves, the evangelist leaves, we continue to try to seek the Lord and seek Him with our whole heart, that He would speak to us, and we'll be mindful of Him and what He would have for us to do, whether it's to speak to someone else, whether it's to witness to someone, whether it's to sing a song or whatever it is. Just whatever He says do, just do it. Amen. We continue to keep that thought in mind and try to serve the Lord every day and try to live a life that's pleasing to Him. There are people in this life that live in disobedience. There are people that we come in contact with, that we cross our paths with, that do not love the Lord and do not live for the Lord. There are people that we see on a daily basis that say that they're saved and say they love the Lord, but they live a different lifestyle. There are times that God allows us to meet some good godly people in our paths cross with some good godly people, and God has blessed us with some good godly friends and some spiritual friends and spiritual family members. Amen. Amen. There are times in life that we meet people who say they are one thing, but yet they are something else. In the church house, sometimes we find people who come on the scene and say that they are one thing, but then we find out later they are something else. Many times people get upset at the preacher because he has a knowledge of these things without saying anything, and yet he deals with it in the manner that God leads him to deal with it in, and people get upset with the preacher because they don't think he done what they thought he should have done. Amen. We're having a good time tonight. I'm not going to be mean or hateful or cruel. I'm trying to lead up to my message. Amen. I'm getting there. But we understand tonight in life and understanding living that we see people even outside of the church that say they're one thing but yet find out later they're something else. Joshua chapter number 9, we begin reading an account that took place in Joshua's life. I want to read this to you tonight in your hearing, and you listen to the Word of God as we see what takes place here in Joshua's life. Joshua chapter 9 and verse 1, it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, Perizzite, Hivite, Hevite, however you want to pronounce that, and the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, most of y'all remember Jericho and Ai, they were slain. Amen. Joshua and those that walked around the wall of Jericho, and the walls fell down. And we remember the account of Ai and what took place there. Here the Bible says they had heard what had happened, what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, that they were willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. Now watch this now. We're talking about the inhabitants of Gibeon. They're taking their old wine bottles, their old sacks upon their asses and their wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. Verse 5 says, their old shoes clotted up their feet and their old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. The men of Israel said unto the Hivites, and peradventure ye dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? They said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, and which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they are, or they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. The princes of the congregation swear unto them. Came to pass at the end of the 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Remember at the beginning of this conversation, they said to Joshua, we're from a very far country. Our bread is dry and moldy. Our wine bottles are nearly empty. And our shoes are wore out because we've traveled such a long way to come to you. From the mouth of the Lord, we've heard of thy God and all the things he's done in Egypt, and we've made this long journey to be thy servants. After 3 days, we find in the Bible says that it came to pass that they found out that those Gibeonites were their neighbors. The children of Israel, verse 17, journeyed and came into the cities on the third day. Verse 18, the children of Israel smote them not. These were the enemies of God. And yet they had made a league with them to allow them to live. And the Bible says they smote them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. I pray, Lord, you'd use me, Father, tonight. Speak through me and help me to say only that's needful and necessary in this hour. And I pray, God, that you'd illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. Father, tonight I do pray, hold back all the opposing powers, Lord, all the hindrances, Lord, to the service tonight. And I pray, God, you'd speak through me, use me, and help me, Lord, to be the mouthpiece, Lord, tonight that these dear folks and Lord need to hear that's here at the house of God. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, Father, tonight. I do pray and illuminate me, Father, and help me, Father, to say only that's pleasing in your sight. I thank you, Father. I'll praise you for what's accomplished. Have your will and way in all that's said and all that's done. In Jesus' loving name we do pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture in Joshua's day and things that's taken place in Joshua's life, there's been great victories in his life. There's been several victories, and we've read about Joshua and the great things that the Lord has done through Joshua. But we come to chapter number 9, we find that Joshua's made a decision, and that decision was based upon what he saw. I'm not going to deal a whole lot tonight with Joshua and what he saw, and I'm not going to try to deal a whole lot with this situation, except I'm going to draw a few things out from it. My text verse tonight is going to be verse number 14. And I'm going to draw from that and try to help you tonight, help us all tonight, for we need some help. Amen. Here we find in this account of the Scriptures, there's a group that comes to Joshua that has disguised themselves, first of all, and they've lied, second of all, and they are the enemies of God, but they come as though they're the servants of God. And we find here that the man of God, being Joshua, made the decision to not to slaughter them or to slay them, but to allow them to live. He made a league with them. Now, all that sounds like it's okay, except for the fact that they were the enemies of God, and God never intended that to happen. And God deals with it later on in the Scripture. We won't look at that tonight, but God deals with that. They become slaves instead of servants. They become the slaves, they're the water carriers, and so on. Won't get into all that, but what I want you to see tonight is this. Looking at Joshua, the great man of God, the one that God used mightily. God told him in the first part of Joshua chapter number 1 to be strong, be of good courage, be strong and be of good courage several times through chapter number 1. And God used him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now here's Joshua in his life, and all those things just took place, all the battles that he's fought and all the battles that he's won. Something is going on in his mind. Don't misunderstand me tonight as I try to build this up and lead you to understand and think for just a moment. There is absolutely nothing that my God cannot do. Amen. Amen. There's absolutely nothing that you and I can think of tonight that God could not do. There's no place God cannot go. Amen. There's some places God would not go. Amen. But there's no place God would not go. Amen. Our God can do anything that He wants to do. Amen. He is an all-powerful God. But with that being said tonight, sometimes I believe we get a little overconfident in God. I believe sometimes as Christians, we believe or we get to thinking that God owes us. Or either we just get to thinking that we're so good of a Christian that God's going to do it because we're His child. Sometimes I wonder if we just get to the place where we just don't even think of God. We just react and then we worry about the consequences. What we find in Joshua's life in verse number 14, we find the Bible says that the men, they took the food and they asked counsel not at the mouth of the Lord. The failure we find in Joshua's life is that he failed to pray. And I want to preach tonight on this thought for just a few minutes on failure to pray. As we look through the Scriptures, there's many places in the Bible that tell us that we're to pray. There's many places in Scripture that remind us to pray. We wonder how could one of God's people, how could one of God's leaders, how could one of the great men that God used to lead the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, into the promised land, how could one like that, so close to God, how could they fail to pray? Well, it happened. So I want us to understand tonight, no matter how great we think we are, if we all be honest tonight, there's been times and there are times that we fail to pray. Amen. We might not want to admit that, but the truth is it happens. You wake up in the morning, start your day, jump up late and hit the road or running. Halfway through the day, things are falling apart, ain't nothing going like it ought to go, and it hits you upside the head. Hey, I didn't pray. You failed to pray. Amen. It happens. But here we see that this is taking place in the Bible. And we find that Joshua has failed to pray, or either maybe he just forgot to pray. But we find many times in Scripture the Bible has reminded us to pray. Let me give you some of them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, the Bible says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, 6, and 7, the Bible says, when thou prayest. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Matthew chapter 6 verse 41, watch and pray. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, what things soever you desire when ye pray. Mark chapter 13, verse 33, take heed, watch, and pray. Mark 14, verse 38, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And there's many other places in the Bible. I just pinned down a few and just try to help us to understand that all throughout the Bible reminds us that we ought to pray. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, the Bible says men ought always to pray. Amen. There's a few things besides the Bible that reminds us to pray, and I'm going to give them to you real quickly. I got six things I'll pin down that reminds us to pray. First of all, problems remind us to pray. Amen. You don't pray, I promise you, you'll have some problems. When problems arise, it reminds us to pray. You have a flat tire, that's a problem. Amen. Late for work, the tire's flat. Amen. You ain't got a spare, or either the spare's flat, that's just problem after problem after problem. It'll remind you to pray. Sometimes, listen, we have so many problems because God's trying to get our attention, so we'll pray. Spend a little time praying. Problems, though, remind us to pray, whatever the problems are. There's times at work whenever things just don't go the way they're supposed to go. I was working on something yesterday. I'd been praying for two or three days about this thing I had to do. I said, God, I need help. I need wisdom. I don't know how this is supposed to work out. I just don't understand what's going to take place with this situation. I've got to fix this thing, and it's got to happen, and it's got to happen today. And I started on it, and I promise you, as the Lord's my witness, I started on it, and everything I touched fell into place. I'm telling, I was about ready to have myself a running spell because God heard my prayer and He answered. Amen. There's been many times, though, I've tackled something like that, and problem after problem, this breaks and that breaks, and nothing goes like it ought to go. Problems remind us to pray. Moving right along, pain reminds us to pray. Say amen right there, Christine. Amen. Pain reminds us to pray. If it hurts, it reminds us to pray. Amen. I've been praying for my knee here lately. Because about every step I'd take, it would hurt. And my mother was so kind and gracious and gave me this nice knee brace that I'm wearing. And it's taken away a lot of the pain. Amen. But prayer helps too. Every time I'd feel a pain, I'd remember that I need to pray. Listen, there's been times when people say, when all else fails, pray. That's absolutely wrong. Amen. Don't wait till everything falls apart and everything's failed before you pray. Pray first. Amen. And hopefully you won't suffer failures. Amen. Pain reminds us to pray. If it hurts, it reminds us that we need to pray. Now let me give you this one. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 42 and verse 1, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Panting reminds us to pray. Whenever we're hungry and thirsty for the Lord. How long has it been since you had an audience with God? How hungry are you to feel the presence of the Lord? And listen, that panting after the Lord would cause you, remind you, you need to pray. Amen? Lord, I need an audience. David said, I cried unto the Lord and He heard my cry. There's other places throughout the psalm that David said that he would cry unto the Lord. He says, hear my cry, O Lord. Why he said that? Because he needed an audience with God. He was panting after the Lord. He needed to see the Lord and feel the presence of the Lord. And we find that hunger for the Lord, hunger for His presence, and thirsty for the Spirit of God, that's panting after Him, that it reminds us to pray. times in the Christian life when it seemed that God's so far away. Hello, is anybody with me tonight? It seems like there's times in the Christian walk that God is so far away. We haven't felt the presence of the Lord. We haven't seen His mighty hand in some miraculous way in our life, and we feel like He's so far removed from us. That's when it should remind you to pray. Panting after the Lord. Purpose, our purpose should remind us to pray. What's our purpose? The vision that God has given us. God's given us a vision, amen? Here at Heritage Baptist Church, God's given me a vision. That vision is to have a people that wants to be pastored, that wants to lead other people to the Lord, to see other souls saved and baptized and join the church and living for the Lord. Amen. Our purpose is to spread the good news of the gospel. Our family that's lost and undone, our friends that are lost, our purpose is to take the good news to them. And whenever we realize our purpose, that should remind us to pray. God give us power. God give us boldness. God give us courage. Our purpose is to witness. It should drive us to ask, to seek, and to knock so that we may have. I'll give you this one real quickly. Number five, people remind us to pray. Look at that on two different sides. There are those that are lost that need salvation. When you see them, that should remind us to pray. Many times at work, and I see my coworkers, I think about their soul and their wickedness and their ungodliness and their wicked ways, and that reminds me to pray for them. And I say this, that you don't have to be on your knees when you pray. You don't have to be in some solitude place when you pray, which is good to have a secret place. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. You get along with God in a secret place. That's a wonderful thing, but you don't have to be in the secret place just to pray. Don't put it off until you can get there. You can pray in a moment's notice. Somebody asked me, say, preacher, would you pray for this? Most of the time, right then, I'm praying. I might not bow my head and close my eyes, but I'm a praying. If I don't, I'll forget about it. And I see people sometimes that I work with, and it reminds me that they're lost, and they're on the way to hell, and they need salvation, and I begin to pray. Lord, help them see their need. Help me, Lord, to be the light that they see. Amen. Help me be a witness to them. People remind us to pray. They need security. They need salvation. They need victory in their life. We may have it in our life, but they need it in their life, and it should remind us to pray. If we care about them, guess what we'll do? We'll pray if we care about them. Now, on the other side of that coin, there's those people that remind us to pray, because they, like these in the Bible and this passage that Joshua was dealing with, they've lied. They were one thing but said that there was another thing. They was one way and said there was another way. And they've lied. And people will do that. And people will remind us to pray. Well, they came and was a part of us, but the Bible says had they been a part of us, they would have still been with us, amen? They wouldn't have went out from us. And in the church houses, a lot of times people come in one way, and they're not what they say they are, and they stir up strife and problems and heartaches and burdens and discouragements, and people get their eyes on that. And it should cause us to pray. Get your eyes on people. One of the biggest problems you can have in your Christian life is getting your eyes on people. You see people the way they do, the things that they do, it should remind us to pray. People will destroy and allow the devil to use them to destroy and tear down the work of God. People will do that. Amen. They'll do that. I shared this story once before. I'll share it real quickly again. This is true. It's nothing fake. It's real. I was a youth pastor. The young girl, 17 years old, tried to corner me up. Said that she went around, that she didn't corner me up. She tried, but there was somebody else in the room with me, so that didn't happen. Thank the Lord. Never by myself with a woman, amen. She went around saying that she had kissed me or I had kissed her, which was a lie. It wasn't so. What she was doing was she was allowing the devil to use her to try to tear down the ministry that God had built up in the youth ministry that we had. Because of wisdom of the Lord and prayer and praying for every time we'd meet and have meetings at the church with the young people, because of prayer, amen, was able to dissolve that real quickly. And the devil didn't have no victory. It wasn't so. The accusation was false. And she had to go back to everybody she spoke to and apologize and tell them she lied. But people will remind you to pray. They'll try to do everything they can. Sometimes they're of the devil. They're of the father, the devil. They're of the children of disobedience. And they come in as a Christian, as a believer. But you can tell. Amen? Preaching on people for just a moment, you can tell. Sometimes if you keep your head out of the sand, you can tell. Some people like to keep their eyes closed and just love everybody. Just love them. Just love them. Joel and Joas, just love them. Problem with that is a lot of them are the devil. They come in, they're wolves in sheep's clothing, amen? And they come in to rip and tear and to destroy the work of the Lord. And a lot of the believers don't want to say anything to hurt their feelings or do anything against them. Well, we got to love them. Well, you got to love them because the Bible says love your enemies. Amen? But you're to pray for them. And if they're trying to tear down the work of the Lord, pray them out. Amen? Pray them out. Pray the Lord to help them see their need of a Savior if they're not saved. Amen. But people will remind us to pray. I got to move on. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. Y'all know where I'm going with all that. Just people will try to destroy things. Amen. But when we see people that's like that, we should pray for them and pray for the church, pray for the pastor, pray for the work of the Lord to continue to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. Amen. Should pray every day for your pastor. I've stood in this pulpit many times in the last 6 years and said you should pray for your pastor, and I'm going to keep saying you should pray for your pastor. There's people that like to tear down your pastor. There's people that like to talk about his family, likes to talk about him. And listen, there's been comments made because my family, it comes to this church. Well, I've got some big news for them fools. And yes, that's been recorded. Morons and fools is the same thing. But guess what Noah did? He saved his whole house. All eight of them got on the boat. Amen. Amen. What are they going to do with Noah? Are you going to talk about him? Oh, I can't believe Noah let all his family. That's all he had on the boat was his family. Well, he didn't win nobody else. Well, no, but the Lord tried. He preached for 120 years. But he saved his family. Amen. Family got on board. If I can't reach my family, who am I going to reach? Amen. If we can't reach our families, who are we going to reach? That stranger across the street may not always listen. They may never listen, but our family will. And if your family listens and my family listens and we get our families together, amen, we have church. What's church anyway? A big happy family. People. Moving on. I'm trying to get off of that. We need to pray for them. Amen. Not only people remind us to pray, but power reminds us to pray. God's power. Because we know that our God can do anything, it should remind us to pray. I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you get I out of it and put God in it and let Him handle it. Amen? God can do all things. Just remembering God's power should remind us to pray. Take your hand off of it and let God take care of it. Amen. I have seen the work of the Lord. David said, I've tasted the Lord and it's good. I've witnessed. And David said he's wondered at his abilities. Whenever we have issues in life, we should remember God's power. That should remind us to pray. I've seen God do things that nobody could explain. I've watched God supply the need. Hey, we was in here one Sunday morning, and a missionary was here that showed Brother Jim Jeremiah showed a picture on the wall of a vehicle that he wanted to purchase and needed $7,000 to purchase that vehicle. And the Lord laid it on my heart for our church to give $1,000. But I watched the power of God before it was over with. We didn't even give the $1,000. Somebody else spoke up and said they'd buy the vehicle, pay the taxes, and have it shipped, and do everything needed to be done. They'd take care of $8,000. That's the power of God. Amen. I've seen that. Amen? Y'all have seen that. We've seen here at Heritage Baptist Church, we've seen the power of God. And we've seen God give us a $250,000 piece of property. We couldn't afford, didn't have the money to buy, and God gave it to us. Costed $10 for the paperwork, and they even paid the $10. That's God. Amen. We've seen that. We know that God's got power. There's been times whenever people would come to the church, they'd visit the church, and I never knew it till later on, but they would drop money in the offering plate. And I'd often wonder, wow, the offerings are amazing. God taking care of His people. I ain't lost a bit of sleep. Amen. I just believe God's big enough to take care of it. I believe God's going to take care of it. We should be reminded, though, whenever we have problems and situations in life, when we remember His power, it should remind us to pray. I can't, but He can. Amen. Now let me give you three things real quickly, and I'm through. Joshua, the Bible says in verse 14, the men asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They failed to pray. I want to ask you three things. Why? Well, one thing, why do we fail to pray? Oh, preacher, I've never failed to pray. Well, you're lying in the house of God. I'm your pastor, and I'm going to tell you straightforward. I've failed to pray. Yes. There's been times in my life I've failed to pray. Things falling apart, and then I realize, oh, my soul, ain't no wonder it's falling apart. I'm trying to do this on my own. There's times when we fail to pray. What caused us to fail to pray? Number one, let me give this to you real quickly. Compassion is dead. When our compassion is dead, it will cause us to fail to pray. David said, no man cared for my soul. When we lose compassion, it's people all around us dying and going to hell. Jude said to have compassion making a difference. If we have compassion, we'll pray. Amen? When we have compassion, we'll pray, we'll spend time with the Lord, and we'll stay in the Word of God, and we'll try to find Scriptures to help us, to help others see their need of a Savior. But we fail to pray because our compassion is dead and dried up. Maybe it's just missing. Maybe it's just gone. We don't have no compassion. Now, some people's more worried about themselves than they are anybody else. You know what that means? It means they don't have no compassion. There's people all around us that need the Lord. Joshua and the princes sought not the counsel from the Lord because, first of all, their compassion was dead. Secondly of all, because their confidence was disastrous. Hold on. What does that mean? Their confidence was disastrous. In other words, they were overconfident. They just figured that God was going to take care of. They just figured that God was with them. They didn't need to talk to Him about it. Everything's going to be all right. It's just going to flow. We're just going to go. God's going to work it all out. Listen real close. There's times whenever you better ask God before you make that decision. You better seek the Lord with wisdom and fervent prayer before you make a decision. Amen? They were overconfident. They felt like that God was just going to take care of everything. They didn't even need to pray. What happened whenever they went up to Ai? There's another failure. Joshua didn't pray there neither. You thought he'd learned his lesson, but he didn't. He'd done it again. It's overconfident. They didn't think there was really any need to pray over such a small matter. But it became a big matter. Hosea chapter 7, verse 10, because of pride, Israel would not pray. Being overconfident. Compassion was dead, confidence was disastrous, and then let me give you the third thing. Courage was depleted. Joshua, be of good courage. Be strong. Be of good courage. Four times in chapter number one. Be courageous. The courage was depleted. Joshua's failure led him to make a huge mistake. When he failed to pray and take counsel of the Lord, it allowed him to make a league with the enemies of God. instead of slaying them as he should have, now they are within the walls or within the children of Israel. They're there with them, and they cannot slay them. He's made a big mistake. Could you imagine every time that Joshua sees one of those Gibeons, every time he sees one of those, it reminds him, that person reminds him of the fact that he failed to pray. Those that he had received, he now was bound to protect, and they were the enemy of God. Failure to pray leads to making bad decisions and errors, which discourages the heart. The courage is depleted. Here was Joshua, one of God's great leaders, who now was discouraged because he had failed to pray. Verse 22, the Bible says, "And Joshua called for them, spake to them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us? Saying, We are very far from you, when you dwelt or dwell among us. Therefore you're cursed. There shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, said, "Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. Now behold, we're in thy hand. As it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do." So he did unto them and delivered them out of the land, out of the hand of the children of Israel, and they slew them not. Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord, even to this day, in the place where he should choose. He made a decision without seeking the Lord, and he had to live with it. Someone made the statement as I was reading in some commentaries, said it was the maintenance of his mistake. Sometimes you have to maintain that mistake you've made. Hello? Is everybody with me? Is everybody listening? Sometimes, whenever we fail to pray, make a quick decision, or make a decision without seeking the Lord, we have to live with that mistake. Although God forgives and God will forgive us and we can move on, we can repent of it, but that's still the result of sin. David had a result of sin. Many others in Scripture had the result of sin. Why do we fail to pray? Because our compassion is missing. Our confidence, we're overconfident. God will take care of it. Well, I know God will, and I know God can. And don't misunderstand that statement. I know God can and God will. But he does tell us to ask. Seek. Knock. Amen. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Making decisions without speaking to the Lord and talking to him first. Get a little overconfident sometimes. And then we get discouraged. Because we make mistakes. We make decisions and we fail to pray. That failure leads to disasters, leads to circumstances in life that could have been avoided, and we find ourselves discouraged because of it. Let's seek not to fail to pray. Amen? Let's try to follow these scriptures that I read to you tonight at the beginning. How many times the Bible encourages us to pray? Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean pray 24 hours a day? That means to be in an attitude of prayer. Amen. You can't pray 24 hours a day. But you need to be in an attitude of prayer at a moment's notice. The situation comes up, no matter how small it is, you ought to pray about it. I've been praying, my wife and I have been praying about a new vehicle. I like to have a truck. a nice truck. I've got a truck, but it don't even run. It's got a nice motor in it, but it don't even crank. We've been talking about another vehicle. I want to get rid of the little one we have because it don't have four-wheel drive and it don't go in the snow. So we've been praying about that. I could just run up here to the Dodge place, Ford place, Chevrolet place, whatever, sign my name on the dotted line, get me a brand-new truck and drive it off the lot if I wanted to. I mean, I can do that. I could probably go up there and not even have to take no money with me. But is that what God wants me to do? And I start praying about a new truck, I don't have peace about that. Amen? Y'all with me? You pray about the small things. I could do that and get myself in a financial mess, and then I'll be worried about all that and trying to work myself to death to pay for it and not lose it and miss the blessings of God. I believe I'll just wait on Him. If I don't get one, I'm fine with that too. Maybe He don't want me to have one. I believe the Bible says He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, amen. He'll bring it to pass. Trust also in the Lord. This is the small thing sometimes we fail to pray about. And we end up making terrible decisions. Life-changing decisions. And we have to live with it. So pray and seek the Lord, amen, in every decision that we make. Don't fail to pray. That's my message tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege.